What is this Smart Decarceration Initiative, and how did you get started with this?
The Smart Decarceration Initiative is about figuring out a roadmap for criminal justice transformation in this country. What our goal is to substantially reduce incarceration rates, ameliorate social disparities in our criminal justice system, and promote public safety and public well-being. And in order to do so, we believe that we have to have multi-sector criminal justice reform, and that it needs to be evidence-driven, empirically focused. There has to be multiple disciplines working together to try to figure out how to engage in reforms, and that we need to be thoughtful and planful, or else we'll just return to an era of hyper-incarceration. I co-direct the initiative with a faculty member at University of Chicago, and he and I had worked together for many, many years, and we both were practitioners in social work practitioners prior to joining academia. So we've always seen kind of this intersection of things that are occurring with behavioral interventions and how structurally our system ends up inhibiting positive outcomes versus promoting them. So as we saw political will, fiscal will, moral will around the country really start to bubble up for reforms about 3 or 4 years ago, we started trying to think about how do we get our hands around this in a way that we don't recreate the mistakes of deinstitutionalization of mental health hospitals.
What ultimately does that final product look like for the SDI?
It looks like us only using incarceration in circumstances in which people pose serious threat to other individuals, that we totally rethink how we use jails and prisons in this country, and that we return to levels maybe consistent with the 1970s. But it really requires a total reimagined criminal justice system that looks almost nothing like what our system looks like today.
Why is this something that you believe is realistic?
We've gotten to a point where continuing the damage that occurs by massive use of incarceration is just not fiscally feasible, and people don't have the stomach for it anymore. I think there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance that's people are starting to grapple with when, you know, we live in the United States that's supposed to be the land of the free, but we incarcerate more people per capita than any other developed world in the country. And I think that's becoming a little bit hard for people to grapple with why we would do that. There's also an increasing desire for social justice for marginalized and vulnerable communities around the country. Especially the millennials are really great about trying to pursue social justice. And so I think people are realizing more and more that you experience our criminal justice system differently based on the color of your skin and how much money you have, which is in direct conflict to social justice. And fundamentally, I don't think that's something that that many Americans can accept once they realize it.
What is going to make the approach that the Smart Decarceration Initiative hopes to take different than, for example, deinstitutionalization or other criminal justice reforms?
Deinstitutionalization of psychiatric hospitals was a bipartisan effort that started with the Kennedy administration. And the calls then were to reduce the populations of psychiatric hospitals by 50% within 10 years. Well, they achieved it. They reduced them by 60% within a decade. But what happened is they did not sufficiently think through and resource alternatives in the community. And so what we saw instead of deinstitutionalization was transinstitutionalization, where people with serious mental illnesses did not get appropriate supports in the community and instead are now housed in our jails and prisons. We say that we can't just be reactionary. I mean, mass incarceration, the era of mass incarceration happened as reactions to increases in crime and the crack cocaine epidemic. Similarly, a lot of the synergy between various interest groups are focused on somewhat reactionary policy reforms too, such as let's shorten sentences, let's let certain people out. Shortened sentences still incarcerate somebody. There's still dramatic negative effects. Letting people out without appropriate supports still sets people up to fail.
How do you move this conversation, as you put it in the paper you wrote, beyond the walls of academia, beyond the walls of this conference that you'll have next week?
The constituents that will be there are researchers, both within and external to academia, advocates, policy groups, many practitioners, and a heavy representation of formerly incarcerated individuals, too, who are working towards criminal justice reform. One of the products of the conference is an actionable roadmap for criminal justice reform within America. And so we're going to spend all of Saturday in working groups coming up with action steps to certain ends, testing those action steps up against the question of, would this reduce incarceration? Would this redress social disparities? Would this promote public safety and well-being? And if the action step does not answer yes to those three questions, then we're asking the groups to rework them until they do. And then we'll write up the products that come from the conference and widely distribute them. We're also asking conference participants to commit to one action step and write it down on a postcard and mail it to themselves. And we'll be following up with them every 6 weeks or 8 weeks to see if they've pursued the action step, how it's working out.
What's the evidence you're seeing that there are people, governments, whoever out there, willing to take this roadmap that you produce and implement it?
Well, there's many, many groups that have heavy influence on policymaking, many interest groups from the right and the left, such as ACLU or Right on Crime, or as you've heard a lot about, the Koch brothers are more and more interested in this. But also all of our politicians are talking about it, especially you hear Hillary Clinton talking about it. You hear it came up in the Republican debates. People recognize that there's a need for reform. We're trying to give them tools to do this that are not reactionary.